fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo, Silver, the Lone Ranger. Faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fella. I am Silver!
Aye! Salvador Crozier was head of a European legation with headquarters in a town a few miles south of the Mexican border. He was also master of his country's spy ring. One night, in an adobe hut built near the legation building, he met in secret with two Americans, Army deserter Eddie Price and outlaw Roy Duran. Crozier reached the climax of his talk.
And I am assured that when Garrison leaves the fort, he will have the information my country desires. He will take the stagecoach from Fort Terrell to San Feliz, and he will have on his person a dispatch pouch containing the information. Get it?
Fort Terrell, New Mexico, John Garrison, veteran official of the United States War Department, received papers containing secret information from Colonel Johnson, ranking intelligence officer in the Southwest.
Mr. Garrison, this report is comprehensive and ominous. It shows how truly weak we are in the West and Southwest. If an enemy were to decode that sheaf of papers you carry, they'd start invading within a month. And we couldn't hold them off, I'm afraid.
Don't worry, Colonel. No enemy will ever know what's in this packet. And once the War Department knows, our defenses will be strengthened.
Mr. Garrison, are you sure you don't want me to send a soldier guard with you to San Feliz?
No, the guard on the stagecoach will do. I'd rather not have it look as though I'm an important passenger.
You say the masked man is to meet you?
Yes, at San Feliz. The government made contact with him and asked him to guide me safely to Dodge City. I'll take the railroad there and have Secret Service men with me from Dodge to Washington.
There was one other passenger in the stagecoach leaving the fort that night for San Feliz, 7 hours' journey to the east. The passenger was a woman, wealthy Mrs. Wilna Kingston, wife of a rich mine owner. She introduced herself to John Garrison and pointed to the oblong leather case in her lap.
Mr. Garrison, can you guess what I have in this case?
Offhand, I'd say jewels.
You're right. That's just what they are. How did you know?
That's a jewel case, isn't it?
Yes, you folks but ready to get going?
Go right ahead, driver. The guard put my luggage in the compartment 10 minutes ago.
I'm ready to leave, too.
All right, then. Shotgun, here we go. Get up! Get on there! Get up!
The stagecoach passed through the gates of the fort a few minutes later and headed east for San Felice.
Get up! Get on there! Get up!
At a point halfway to San Felice, outlaws Eddie Price and Roy Duran, astride their horses, heard the noise of the approaching stagecoach.
I remember, Roy. All we care about at first is getting the driver and the shotgun rider. They'll be perfect targets in this moonlight, so shoot them. The rest will be easy.
Here it comes. You ready?
Yeah, sure.
Let's blast.
I got the shotgun guard. And there goes the driver.
And there goes the coach. Turning over.
Let's go, Roy. I told you this would be easy.
Hit him. Come on. Hit him. Come on.
Yeah, that coach sure is smashed up. Come on. We have to pull those people out to get to Garrison.
Only two of them, Eddie, no more.
Don't kill me. Take my jewels, but don't kill me.
Nobody's going to kill you, lady. This hombre Garrison's the one we want. Garrison, where's the package you got at the border?
The one with the papers in it. Where is it?
Let's see if it's...
No.
What's this?
You have it?
I think so. Yeah, this is it, Roy. No doubt about it. Light a match.
Sure.
Yeah. See what it says? United States War Department. And there's the wax seal.
Well, come on. Let's start for Mexico so we can deliver this and get our money.
Now, wait a second. Are you crazy? Let's take this dame's jewels.
Oh, no.
They wear jewels in Mexico, don't they? If they do, then they'll buy them, too.
Tonto had waited at the stagecoach station in San Felice, ready to meet John Garrison. When an hour passed and the coach failed to appear as scheduled, Tonto walked to the end of the street, where the Lone Ranger waited in the shadows.
He must have a stagecoach. Not come yet.
Did you inquire why it's late?
Me ask agent. Him telegraph fort when stagecoach not come. Him just get answer from fort. It say stagecoach. Leave fort on time.
Then it should be here by now. Tonto, let's not wait any longer. Something's wrong. Easy,
set. Easy, scout. Easy, fella.
We're right out along the trail to see what happened.
Me ready, Kemosabe.
All right, let's go. Come on, Silver.
Get him up, scout.
Three hours later, as they sped around a bend in the road, the Lone Ranger and Tonto came upon the scene of the holdup.
Oh, Kemosabe, look. Coach, turn over.
There are people on the ground over there. Easy, steady, big fella. Tonto, take lanterns from the pack and light them. I'll get the medical kit.
Me get them.
As the Lone Ranger and Tonto approached the group, they saw that John Garrison and Wilna Kingston, who had revived, were attending the wounded driver and guard. Mrs. Kingston, when she turned and saw the masked man and Indian, gasped.
More outlaws! They'll kill us!
But John Garrison, in the lantern's light, saw the friends who were to have met him in San Felice.
My friends, you've come.
Quickly, he introduced the Lone Ranger and Tonto to Mrs. Kingston and explained.
We revived, I'd say, about 2 hours ago. These men were badly wounded, it seemed, but we were able to stop the flow of blood and bandage them. They seem to be coming around now. Perhaps their wounds are not as bad as we thought.
The Lone Ranger, using medicine and surgical instruments, had the driver and guard walking on shaky legs within an hour. The driver was grateful.
Thanks, all of you. You saved our lives. We'll be able to get you away from here, I think, if the horses aren't hurt too bad, and if the coach can run.
While the driver and guard went to inspect the horses, still attached to the overturned coach, the Lone Ranger and Tonto bandaged the injuries of John Garrison and Wilna Kingston. In tones alternately desperate and despairing, Garrison told of the holdup.
And just before I passed out completely, I heard them say they would go to Mexico at once and hand over the packet.
They took my jewels, too. They're worth a fortune.
You've already told us that, Mrs. Kingston.
Well?
Mr. Garrison, how long ago would you say the holdup occurred? We've been here an hour. It's after 2 a.m. now.
I'm not sure. I'd say it was somewhere between 8 and 9 o'clock last night.
That mean crooks have over 5 hour start.
The Mexican border is about 50 miles from here.
Oh, at that rate, they'll be in Mexico by tomorrow night.
If their horses are up to it.
Garrison, speaking tensely, told the Lone Ranger of the stolen paper's importance. He concluded,
"You were going after those men?"
Yes. Now, Mr. Garrison, if the driver and guard find the horses able to carry you, go back to the fort and send word to the military camps along the border.
I'll do that.
Here, horses, give us something.
Thanks, Tonto. Easy steady, big fella.
Easy, fella.
We'll try to recover your jewels, Mrs. Kingston.
Oh, please do.
Ready, Tonto?
Uh-huh.
Let's start then. Come on, Silver.
Come up, come.
The horses ridden by Eddie Price and Roy Duran were staggering from near exhaustion as the outlaws entered the small border town of Rio Vista late that day.
Oh, Roy, we get stuck with these nags. They can't run another mile.
No, but we'll get to Mexico if we have to swim across the river. And we may have to, Eddie.
Why?
These horses are finished. We have no money to buy new ones. We're broke.
Not while we have these jewels, Winnett.
I never thought of them. But who'd buy them in this town? No stable owner.
Are you forgetting Flash Herman?
Say, that's right. He runs a cantina here, doesn't he?
Right up this street on the corner. Let's get there fast.
Get up. Come on. Get up.
And, Flash, we don't have money to buy the nags. If you'll give us cash for this ring and necklace, we'll get two horses and make it to Mexico before the law catches up with us.
And let's see that ring.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a beauty. Got a woman's setting that I could wear on my little finger.
Yeah.
Come on over to livery stables with me, and I'll have Manuel pick out a good pair of horses for you. And keep this jewelry in payment.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments. To continue. Meanwhile, the Lone Ranger and Tonto entered Rio Vista by a back trail.
Tonto, I'll remain here among these trees. I can't very well go into town wearing this mask.
Me ask about crooks, Kimasabi.
Yes, they haven't been as cagey as I thought they might. We've been on their trail all the way.
Me ask if them pass through here?
Yes, and try the livery stable first. Their horses would need attention by now.
Oh, Kimasabi. Me get back, Tonto.
Tonto returned within 15 minutes.
Kimasabi, them get fresh horses at stable here. Mexican hombre who owns stable, tell me. Them come with cantina owner named Flash Harmon.
I know who he is. One of the border's slimiest characters.
Stable man not like Flash Harmon. Him tell me all him hear.
What did he hear?
Well, Crooks and Flash talk. And them talk about jewels Crooks give to Flash.
So he's taking the loot off their hands, has he?
Sound that way, Kimasabi.
We go get jewels from him?
No. The packet is more important than all the jewels in the world.
One thing make it easy for us, Kimasabi.
What's that, Tonto?
Horses, crooks buy, wear new shoes. Me see hoof prints that lead from stable. Stable man tell me them belong to horses crooks ride.
Good. Let's get started again, then. You return to the stable on scout and follow the hoof prints. I'll continue around the town and meet you near the river.
Minutes later, when the Lone Ranger reached the shore of the Rio Grande, he saw Tonto waiting near the water's edge, beckoning to him.
Come on, Silver.
He joined his Indian companion, who pointed to the ground, marked vividly by the impression of horseshoes.
Kimasabi, you see, footprints go into water here. This is where them cross.
Well, let's go after them. Come on, Silver.
Get them up, scout.
Good boy, Silver.
Kimasabi, we see hoof prints over here, and still show watermarks.
That means they can't be very far ahead. Let's start again. Come on, Silver.
You must count.
Eddie Price and Roy Duran reached the grounds a few miles south of the border, where the foreign diplomat, Salvador Crozier, lived in his nation's legation headquarters. The grounds were surrounded by a high wrought iron fence, and a hulking man stood guard in front of the gate entrance. The outlaws gave him their names.
Oh, yes, yes, the master warned you might come. You stay here, senores, and I shall get word to him that you have arrived. Then I shall return and escort you to the meeting place.
All right.
Moments later, the Lone Ranger and Tonto, riding the greatest and strongest horses in all the West, came in sight of the legation building.
Tonto, quick. Get over behind these bushes before we're seen. Come on, boy.
Come, sir. Come, fella.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto watched the guard lead Eddie Price and Roy Duran away from the estate, across an open field, and then into a grove of trees.
Otto, let's give them a little time and then ride for that grove. Ready?
Okay, Masabi.
Come on, sir.
Get them up, scout. Scout. Masabi, look. Horses outside Dobe Hut.
Where it's hidden among the trees, it looks like a hideout.
They must be inside.
Easy, said a big fella.
Easy, scout. Easy, fella.
We'll leave our horses here, Tonto. And we'll make our way there on foot through those heavy bushes without being seen.
Inside the adobe hut, Eddie Price and Roy Duran waited for Salvador Crozier. After a quarter-hour interval, the diplomat appeared.
So you have come. Now tell me quickly. You have what I wanted?
Yeah, it's here in this pouch. Oh. You got what we want. The money for getting this thing.
Don't talk about money now. First I must see what is inside this packet. Give it to me.
Here. We have some jewels, too, we'd like to sell.
I am not interested in jewels, only in these plans. I shall take them out of the house and have my code expert examine them.
Hey, I wouldn't bother doing that, mister.
Who are you?
The masked man. Shoot right. My arm is broken.
Stand right where you are, the four of you.
Me get guns, Kimasabi. Me take them.
I don't understand this.
I do. That's why I'll shoot you if you move another inch.
Well, you can't do a thing like this. You can't.
Oh, watch out.
The guard had leaped suddenly, about to grab Tonto's gun hand. Tonto's foot tripped the guard, and as the man fell, Tonto's gun crashed onto his skull.
You want same?
No.
Get over there with those two rattlers who are working for you and your country.
What are you going to do to us?
Tonto, manage and tie up those two traitors.
Kimasabi. Tie up.
I asked you, what are you going to do to us?
Unfortunately, there's nothing I can do to you. You're evidently a diplomat.
I am Salvatore Crozier of the great...
Save it. I know that when my government gets the information about you, you'll not represent your country in Mexico or any other nation on the globe.
No?
Yeah, perhaps I'm wrong, because yours is undoubtedly a nation without honor. But I'm not wrong in saying these two be tried as traitors.
Mister, you can't turn us over to the army.
I'm a deserter. I'll hang.
If that's the law, then it's what you deserve.
Well, take those jewels and let us go.
You keep still and not move.
I'll take the jewels, all right. Now see that the authorities recover those your pal Flash Harmon got from you.
You know about those?
Yes. You said a lot before we entered here, and we heard you.
Salvador Crozier and the guard were gagged, bound, and left on the floor of the adobe hut.
I hope it's hours before your friend at the house start to look for you two. Save your breath. I don't think you'll have anyone try to follow us, even if you are rescued. We're too near the border for them to catch us.
Kimasabi, me got crooks on horses.
Good. You two ride in front of us, and don't try any tricks. We'll shoot you again if you do, but this time we'll lower our aim.
Don't worry, we'll do as you say.
Then move.
Come on, get up. Come on.
Come on, Silver.
Get him up, Scout. We make it safe, Kimasabi. There are American shore ahead.
Yes, Tonto, and I see American soldiers waiting there.
Border troops had received telegraphed word from the fort near San Felice. When the Lone Ranger and Tonto turned over Eddie Price and Roy Duran to the major in charge, little explanation was necessary. The major said,
I'm aware of the circumstances, and I know what a wonderful thing you've done for your country. It's something the Army couldn't have done, I assure you.
Only because diplomatic reasons wouldn't permit your going into Mexico, sir.
Whatever the reasons, it's something only you could do and did.
Major, you'll see that the jewels are returned to Mrs. Kingston.
I'll do that. And we'll guard these papers you return until they're delivered in Washington. The jewels will be returned, too.
Oh, I'm glad.
The sheriff has arrested Flash Harmon for dealing in stolen property. Roy Duran has also given us the name of another traitor, a man who advised Crozier that John Garrison would carry the defense plan.
And you know all there is to know. You'll not need Toto and me now, so we'll leave. Come, Toto. Come, Silver!
Come up, Scout!
Major.
Yes, Captain?
I heard all that was said just now, and I marveled. Who is that remarkable man?
After today, I'd say he's the man who saved the West, and perhaps the country. But you'll know better who he is when I tell you he's the Lone Ranger.
This is a feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated, created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.